And away we go. Here we are, Thursday, February the 20th, 2020. Now, how about that? 2-20-20. Today is 2-20-20. Now, and because of all the check fraud and the way we're supposed to write 2020 now, you have to write 2020 on everything. So today is 2-20-20-20. 2-20-20-20. How many times is that going to happen in your life? Once. And it's today. 2-20-20-20. Okay, 14 minutes past the hour, you're tuned into the Now program here on WWGH Radio. Hope you are having a great time wherever you are, and we're going to have a great time today. Now, yesterday was a little bit of a stressful program. I will not lie to you. We had Senate candidate Melissa Atkinson on, and she did end up coming on in the second hour, and we certainly do appreciate that she made that phone call, and we had a good time with her, I think. I did. And I think she was satisfied with the interview. But getting up to that interview, getting up to the point, was a little bit convoluted. I told the story yesterday, and, you know, it was what it was. Live radio is what it is. This show is going to take the air during the time it's supposed to take the air every morning. That's what live is. So yesterday, as I was coming in, I had a lot of interesting stuff happening between Adam DeSabo and Melissa Atkinson. But, you know, we don't wish either one of them any ill will. We wish them both well. And if Adam someday wants to come on the show, that's perfectly fine. And we might have Melissa back before the primary. I don't know what the time constraints on that will be. But she's more than welcome, as is Representative Jim Jordan, as is Bill Reinicke. Anybody who would like to come on is more than welcome to come on. Matter of fact, anybody who wants to come on this show, all you have to do is call us or email us, use any of the technology available to let us know that you want to come on, and we will see that you come on the show. So that was yesterday. It was interesting. It was a Plan B type of day, kind of flying by the seat of your pants, but hey, we're back here today having a good time. Now this morning, you know, every day this week, I have been able to go to McDonald's and get my large Diet Coke. I don't know what was going on this morning. I don't know if it's because it was daylight. I don't know what the deal was. But there was no possible way that I could have stopped this morning and still made it here on time. That line was wrapped around McDonald's this morning. So I don't know if people are getting up earlier, or maybe people are just thirstier today because it's Thirsty Thursday. See, we name everything now, so you got to have a Thirsty Thursday. You know, I was thinking the other day, have you heard this term which people are using now a lot, Taco Tuesday? Where did Taco Tuesday come from? Is it, I'm pretty sure it's Taco Tuesday. It's not Taco Thursday. So, that is something I had never heard until recently, oddly enough. That's how out of the loop I am. But, you know, when did we start having Taco Tuesdays? Now, not that everybody has tacos every Tuesday in their home, but that's an interesting phrase that I have heard as of late that I had never heard before, Taco Tuesday. Do a lot of you have Taco Tuesday at your house? Now, I would say that the biggest pizza night of the week is probably Friday. But you see, Pizza Friday doesn't sound very good. But Taco Tuesday, now that has got a real ring to it. So, Taco Tuesday. If anybody has any idea where that came from, let me know. 740-383-9944. Now, the Charlie Evers Show will be on this morning, 10 a.m. till 12 noon. I don't believe Charlie has a guest this morning, so he's got some great giveaways to Jimmy John's and Panda Express, and we still have the Jags Koozie, which I don't know, may be here through eternity. And we also have Smoothie King giveaways. So tune in to Charlie's show this morning, 10 a.m. until 12 noon. Jimmy John's, Panda Express, and Smoothie King giveaways, or the Jags Koozie. One day I want somebody to call in here and answer a trivia question and say, I want the koozie. Then we can finally get this koozie off the desk. You know, and it's not a bad koozie. It's yellow. You would not lose it. It's one of the styrofoam koozies. Well, not styrofoam, rubber. You wouldn't want a styrofoam koozie. It's a nice rubber koozie. It's brand new. It's still got the tags on it. It's Jags High Performance. They do very well in the auto industry. I don't know. Do you like a Jags koozie? We have it. It's starting to collect dust because it's been sitting here, I think, since November. The old Jags koozie. Oh, no, I'm getting a message here. Let's see. Oh, Wine Wednesday. So there you go. I had not heard that before. Now, yesterday must have been Wine Wednesday. And not, that's W-I-N-E. Wine. A nice bottle of wine. Wine Wednesday. So we've got Taco Tuesday and Wine Wednesday. Now, do Monday, Thursday, and Friday have any significance? Or Saturday and Sunday? Do they have any names? So we've got Taco Tuesday now and Wine Wednesday. Any other things that pop into your mind, let me know. I'd love to hear. 740-383-9944. Or we could name them ourselves at this point, because certainly there have to be foods that rhyme with those, is it really a rhyme? Taco Tuesday, that's kinda. Wine Wednesday, I don't know if that's really a rhyme. It just has the same letter, but that works. So maybe if we just use the same letter. Like Monday could be Mashed Potato Monday. We know in Ohio we love our mashed potatoes. And here's another thing, see, I should not mention this stuff because it sounds like I'm a picky eater, and I'm really not. When I go out to eat with people, I navigate through the menu pretty well, but I don't really like peanut butter. I know that's not a great thing for most people. I don't really like peanut butter. I don't like gravy, but I can do the broth gravy. I have been to the chicken places and had the mashed potatoes and gravy. And, you know, I can do that. It's just that sausage gravy I cannot do. So I don't like gravy. That's another thing. And now I have to admit this morning that I really don't like mashed potatoes. Now, here's why I think I don't like mashed potatoes. When I was growing up, for some reason, it seemed like every meal we ever had some kind of mashed potatoes. I don't know why. I don't know why that was a popular thing, but there was constantly mashed potatoes. Now, Charlie talks about this with macaroni and cheese, that when he was younger, his mother, I think, was obviously doing the cooking in those days, cooked macaroni and cheese so much, and obviously he ate it, that now he has an aversion to macaroni and cheese. He does not want macaroni and cheese. And I think that happened to me with mashed potatoes. I think I'm, because the weird thing of it is, I like a baked potato. One of the best things I like to eat is a baked potato. I don't buy them often, though, because what happens is, when I go in, the bags of potatoes are always cheaper. And me being thrifty and frugal, I always buy the bag of baked potatoes in general, I guess. And I'll eat maybe one baked potato, maybe two baked potatoes, but you don't want to have a baked potato every night for every meal. So then I don't end up eating any more of the potatoes for a while. And the potatoes get all those eyes on them and start to go bad. And then I just end up throwing the potato bag out. So, you know, that's kind of why I don't eat a whole lot of baked potatoes. But I do like baked potatoes. I like au gratin potatoes, which I'm not even really sure is a potato once you dump all that stuff on it. What is the stuff on au gratin potatoes? You know what? I've never really paid much attention to that. Is that a cheese? What is au gratin? It doesn't sound good, but a lot of people have au gratin potatoes. That's become a very popular thing here in the United States. What is au gratin? What does that mean? And what is the sauce that you put on au gratin potatoes? Have you ever thought about that? These are the things that I think about. What, I'm sure I could look on the box, and anybody can Google now. I'm just not one of those people who Google. Because, see, I like to sit there and just think about it and wait for somebody to tell me the answer. But what is that coating that is on top of au gratin potatoes? Obviously, you have the sliced potatoes that are under all of that sauce. But what is that sauce that you pour over top? It kind of looks like a cheese, but I don't think it's a cheese. Maybe it is. It might be a cheese. There are so many different variations on cheese. And au gratin kind of sounds like a cheese name. You know, like Limburger or American or Cheddar or Colby Jack or all that. I think you know au gratin would fit in there. But then again, I've never been in the store and saw au gratin cheese where you could just buy that on your own. So is that a cheese mixture? All you cooks out there, what is that coating that's going on top of the au gratin potatoes? I've never thought about that. I'm thinking about it now. Does anybody know? 740-383-9944. Fill me in on this sort of thing. 740-383-9944. What is that coating that is on top of au gratin potatoes? And where did that name come from? Au gratin. See, if you would name something like that now, I don't think it would get off the ground. Oh, what do you have? Au gratin potatoes. It sounds like rotten potatoes. Nobody wants rotten potatoes. So if anybody knows the answer to this, let me know. What's the coating that's on top of au gratin potatoes? And where did that name, au gratin potatoes, come from? Now, here's the funny thing. I think we might be breaking a Guinness Book of World Records record this morning, because I now think I have said au gratin potatoes more on any radio show than has ever been said in the history of modern-day broadcasting. So I'm going to say it one more time here just to let you know that if you know the answer to this anytime in this hour, let me know. What does the word au gratin mean, and what is that coating that is on au gratin potatoes? So give me a call, 740-383-9944. So the point of all that was, I think I got burnout on mashed potatoes. So I am not a mashed potato person, I am not a peanut butter person, and I'm not a gravy person. Which, you know, mashed potatoes and gravy, that really kind of does it in for me. Although, like I say, if I do go to a chicken place for some, because there are not a whole lot of sides, I guess I could go for like the corn or the baked beans, but I will do a little dab of mashed potatoes and a little dab of broth gravy and go from there. But it's not my favorite. And just like I said, I'll eat a Reese cup, and I know there's peanut butter in there, but it's not my favorite. And the same would go here for mashed potatoes. But we could have mashed potato Monday, because I know we as Ohioans love our mashed potatoes. So let's say we have mashed potato Monday. We have mashed potato Monday, taco Tuesday, wine Wednesday. Now, what can Thursday and Friday be? Now, I'm going to put this on you. Since I have named mashed potato Monday, and we already had taco Tuesday and wine Wednesday, What are Thursday and Friday going to be? What is going to be the food of choice that all people must eat on Thursday and Friday? You know, I can think of a few. Obviously, Thursday is a tea day, just like Tuesday. What would be a good Thursday? Because we're on Thursday right now. We're stuck right on Thursday 2020 here. What would be something that rhymes or sounds or has the same letter as Thursday that is a popular food that people could go out and order on Thursday? Now, the same thing for Friday. Now, Friday is a little different because Friday is the only day of the week that begins with an F. So what would Friday be? Now, I have a guess for what we should make Friday, even though I know Friday is pizza day. For some reason, Fridays have been tied in with pizza. I've ran into so many people, so many families that say they cook all week, but on Friday they order out pizza. And you know what? When I was younger, that used to happen. We really did not have pizza during the week, but on Friday night we would have pizza. That was just a given. But it can't be Pizza Friday because that doesn't make, it doesn't work with the lettering. So what can Friday be? I, in my mind, have one, but I want to hear what you have to say. So what can Friday be? What can Thursday be as far as food? Now, I really don't have one in my mind for Thursday. I don't know what Thursday could be. So give me a call. Let me know. Get those minds working. 28 minutes past the hour here today, 29 minutes. So we've got, again, Mashed Potato Monday. That's the one I've done. Taco Tuesday, and Wine Wednesday. So it could be food or drink. What are Thursday and Friday going to be? Now, if you tell me what your Friday is, I'll tell you what my Friday is. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. I feel like I should get the phone book out again and start calling people. Because what we seem to have... I don't know what it is about the first hour here, but for some reason, the first hour always gets less phone calls than the second hour. I don't know if people sleep in. I don't know what that's all about. But the first hour never generates as many phone calls as the second hour. The second hour always does better. But let me know. Phone lines are open. Okay, what else did I want to talk about here this morning? Seemed like there was something else I wanted to talk about before I got back into the presidential trivia. Let's see here. Oh, the dumpling thing, because we got back into that a little bit yesterday, but we were having a lot of fun with that on Tuesday, I guess it was. And my contention still is on the dumplings. Now, we did have somebody call in on Tuesday who gave us a complete dumpling recipe, and I appreciate that, and I even think she's sending that to the station. But, have you ever heard of strawberry dumplings? Nobody has ever given me the answer here. Is that a thing? Strawberry dumplings. I've never heard of it. It sounds good because we do have apple dumplings. We do have blueberry dumplings. But have we ever had strawberry dumplings? Which to me sound very good. I don't know. And could you make strawberry dumplings? Because I'm not really sure how blueberry dumplings are made, so I can't really speak to this. I know, obviously, you need to make the dumpling. That's a whole separate thing. And obviously, you would have to have real strawberries that you probably heated up and melted down so that they were easy to eat, because that's the whole secret to a dumpling. But how would you get the sauce for a strawberry dumpling? Now, would you have to use real strawberries and mix it all up to get the sauce for a strawberry dumpling? This could be a whole new thing that somebody could create. Because if this is not created, although most things have been now, if nobody has created strawberry dumplings, you could really be breaking ground here. Because I've never seen them, I've never heard of them. And if you come up with your own particular recipe, if you're really good in the kitchen, you could have a little special dessert there that maybe people would come from miles around to have. And the great thing about dumplings is that they're not very difficult to make, and they're not very expensive to make. as we learned the other day. So anything out there on strawberry dumplings at this point, let me know. Now, another thing that I have wanted to talk about, I've had it here on my list for a while, because this was a conversation, well, it's always a conversation this time of year when we have snow and we have ice and we have things like that. We always reflect back in our lifetimes to events like that. And a lot of times we'll say, well, do you remember the blizzard of 78? That's always a very popular one, of course, the blizzard of 78. But we have had other things in Marion. I don't ever remember a tornado. I did want to ask that. Has Marion ever really had a severe tornado? I remember I was researching this one time, and I could not find that the city of Marion ever had a tornado of any significance. Now, Cardington obviously had the big tornado in the early 80s, I believe it was, but I don't think Marion has ever had any kind of tornado of any significance. I don't even know if any have ever touched down here. I could not find anything on record, but a lot of times records are not kept as well as people's minds. So my question this morning is, we've had floods, we've had winter storms that were almost as bad as the blizzard of 78, and we have had a windstorm. Do you remember the windstorm of 2012 that caused all the damage? Or do you remember, did they call it a brownout? Do you remember back, I believe it was 2002, when, half the town lost electricity and half the town didn't. But the, you know, we've lost electricity before, but the problem was it was in, when was it? Here's where I get fuzzy on this. I can't remember if it was in the summer. I think it was in the summer because I remember people worrying about air conditioning. But I remember it was something about the power grid in Michigan. Was it in Michigan or New York? One of the big power grids had went down. Something major had happened with one of the power grids. And it had caused all kinds of trouble all down the East Coast. And here in Marion, I remember half the people's power was out and half the people's power was on. Now, I don't know how that worked out, why half the people's power was on and half the people's power was off. But does anybody remember that? And it was off for like 3-4 days, maybe even longer than that. Does anybody remember when that happened? I believe it was 2002. And does anybody remember if it was winter or summer? For some reason, I think it was winter, but then that doesn't seem right because I remember that people were having an issue with air conditioning. I don't think it was a heat issue. But was anybody living here, and do you have a good recollection of that? I think they called it a brownout. Maybe it was in the summer because of it overheated, I think was what had happened. I don't think there was any foul play involved with the big electric grid going down. But I know it didn't go down in Ohio. It was our big, you know, like port of where we get all our electricity. I think it was either Michigan or New York. But it had caused people's electric to go out for days. Now, see, back in 2002, you could still lose electric for days and survive. I don't know if people could do that today. You know, it's only been 18 years ago. Only 18 years ago. Only a decade, almost 2 decades ago. But, you know, today people are much more dependent on their cell phones. People are much more dependent on the internet. People are paying their bills on the internet. People are paying their bills with their cell phones. People are buying their groceries with cell phones, all these sort of things. Do you think today that we could survive an event like we had back in 2002 when we had that brownout where people lost power for 2 or 3 days? I don't know. If people couldn't message people, and we've done away with so many landline telephones, it sounds silly, but back in 2002, you know, most people still had landline telephones. The big cell phone boom had not happened to the point to where landline telephones had almost been erased at that point. So, because of the loss of landline telephones, and because of the popularity of texting, and because everybody now has a smartphone, which they did not back then, I don't even think the smartphone had really come about in 2002, could people live through a time where maybe they had no electricity for 3 or 4 days? Or would they just go bananas? Would they have to go to a place with a generator and get some kind of Wi-Fi service so they could live their life? I think it's an interesting question. Does anybody have a take on this? Or does anybody remember when that happened back in 2002? Does anybody remember living through that? Now, where I was living at the time, we kept our power. I don't know why. We were just lucky, and our power did not go out. But I do know a lot of people lost power, and it was strange because it was people right up the road lost power. And during that time, a lot of businesses had to close down because they had no power. I remember because I think I was in... I know I was working at a place that I think lost power. And I remember it was strange because usually... I was working at on a place out here on Route 95. Now, those businesses never lose power. But I remember the business lost power, and it was one of the popular businesses, and I could not go to work. And the first night, they just told people to stay home because there's no power and there's nothing you can do. Now, the second night, they had people come in, but what you went in and did was you, like, cleaned. They because you had light that was coming through the window, because maybe it was summer. Maybe I'm thinking about this wrong. Now, come to think about it, maybe it was summer. Because I remember the light shining through the windows, because you had no electricity in the place, is kind of what you used. So everybody who was scheduled that shift had the option to come in and help clean the place up, vacuum the floors with the vacuums that did not need electricity, and clean up the woodwork, and clean up the windows, and clean out the walkways, and do all that sort of thing. So that was a big thing. But does anybody remember that event? I remember that so well. If you do, give me a call. 740-383-9944. Now, the other event that I remember very well is 2012. And I'm absolutely positive when this happened. This happened on a Friday night, 2012. And this was in the summer, and I believe it was the first or second week of, well, it was either late June or early July. That's how close I can pinpoint it. But we had this huge windstorm that caused a lot of damage in town, and it did cause people to lose power because power lines were knocked over. But it came through here. It was not a tornado. But boy, this windstorm came through and caused problems like you could not imagine. And it all whipped up all of a sudden. It was a Friday night and the skies got all black. And out of nowhere, here came this storm. And I remember looking out the window and just seeing things blowing down the road, people's lawn furniture, all kinds of papers, signs were coming down on businesses. And I remember that was in 2012, because at that time, I was working for another radio station. And I think the statute of limitations has went out on this. So I can tell this story. It was a Friday, as I say, and I was doing mornings there. 6 to 9 in the morning, I think I was on the air. So I had went in on a Friday morning to do the show. Now, the storm did not happen until Friday night. So I came in, and I was doing the show Friday morning, and I noticed the phone would not work. For some reason, I could not get the phone to work. Now, in the beginning, I wasn't getting any calls, so I thought, well, maybe just nobody's calling in. And then I tried to make a call out and got the operator. And I thought, this is very strange. Why aren't the phones working? So I went and asked the person who was in charge of the business. I said, there's something wrong with the phones. Okay. So, I know they did not tell me the truth, because I later ended up finding out what the truth was. But they had told me something was wrong with the phones, basically. That the phone company was working on it, and they were going to restore the power, and that was going to be the way it was going to be. Okay. So I did the show Friday morning. I left at 9 o'clock. And Friday night, here comes this big storm. This big, horrible wind storm. So it comes blowing in, and it happens. So the next morning, Saturday morning, I get a call from the people who were running the radio station, and they said, don't worry about coming in next week, because of this windstorm that happened Friday night, there had been some damage to the tower, that the antenna had been damaged or knocked down or something like that, because the station was off the air. I did notice that. Some damage had been done to the antenna, so we're going to take a week off and we're going to repair the antenna from the windstorm, and everything's going to be hunky-dory. Okay, that sounded good to me. Well, the week passed, and the postscript to this story is, I never went back to work at that radio station, because they never went back on the air at that time. A matter of fact, I think they were off the air. That would have been either the last week of June or the first week of July 2012, and I don't think they went back on the air until sometime in October, and by that point, they had turned mostly into just a jukebox radio station. It was really no longer a talk. They had no morning show like they had when I was there, because obviously I had moved on, and they had moved on. But the funny thing about this story is I never thought anything about that phone problem on Friday morning, because we did have the big windstorm on Friday night, and I believed them. You know, I had no reason not to believe them, that the antenna had been damaged. Well, when the antenna was never fixed, I eventually learned, because I knew the person who owned the tower where the antenna was, and I just happened to run into that person one day after this had all happened. And that person had said, well, there was no damage to the antenna. The antenna had never been knocked down. Nothing like that had ever happened. You know, we have a lot of antennas up there. And I thought, okay, there was no damage to the antenna. So what happened? Why were we off the air? Well, as near as I can tell, and again, this is just all hearsay, was I guess the radio station was just not doing well at that point. And I could tell, because really, I think there were only 3 employees at that point. It had dwindled down quite a bit. And I found out, I think, that they had just not paid the phone bill. Because if you think about it, the windstorm would not have caused the phones to go out, because the phones were already out Friday morning. And the phones carry the radio signal. Usually you have 2 phones set up at 2 different locations that carry the radio signal. I'm pretty sure that's how that worked with that particular station. So I think what had happened was they had 2 phone bills, and for whatever reason, the phone had been shut off at the studio that morning. And then later on that day, it was shut off at the tower. And when it shut off at the tower, well, there goes your broadcast. The station goes off the air. So what I have deduced is they just got lucky that this big windstorm came in, and then they could blame it on damage to the antenna, when the real thing was they really had no money left, and they had not paid the phone bill, and that's why the station went off the air until October, until they could get some kind of new idea to return the station to the air. And I wish they'd just been honest with me, to be honest with you. If they had just come to me and said, hey, you know, we are having financial difficulties, and that's why the phones don't work, and, you know, might be time to go look for something different at this point, I would have been fine with that. But I've never went back and talked to the people about it, because at this point, what would it do? But that was the story I was given, that the phones were disconnected because of financial troubles, and the antenna never had any damage to it from that windstorm. Which is the reason we were all given as to why the station was going off the air. Although, in the beginning, it was just a week. Why it took months and months and months to fix the antenna, I have no idea. Because that's really not a huge job. It's a bit of a job. You know, it takes more than a day. You got to have somebody who will climb the tower and put the antenna back up. And if your antenna's broken, you have to order a new one. But it doesn't take, you know, a month to get the antenna working again. But that's my story. What I don't think I've ever told that story on the air. But that's a true story. Does anybody have a story like that where you've been working someplace and somebody is not necessarily on the level with you for whatever reason? Or do you remember that big windstorm of 2012? That's kind of where this all started, the big windstorm of 2012. Give me a ring, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. 48 minutes past the hour. Boy, we are ripping through time this morning here on the Now program. I kind of feel like I'm at that radio station this morning because the phone lines are not ringing. So, give me a ring. Do you remember the windstorm of 2012? We've got a multitude of questions out at this point. Do you remember the windstorm of 2012? Do you remember, have you ever been in a situation where maybe your employer was not totally honest with you? Do you remember any other type of storms? Do you remember a big snowstorm other than the blizzard of 78? Do you remember a flood? See, I can remember a couple floods that happened in town, but I don't remember where they were, and I don't remember the particulars of it. But floods can be very dangerous. To me, floods in Marion are worse than tornadoes or snowstorms. Because now when you get a snowstorm, the trucks are out pretty quickly to clean that up, and you can usually get out of your house. I don't know that we've had a snowstorm in a long time where you couldn't get out of your house. And the windstorms, you know, it happens. I don't think anybody's house ever got blown down by a windstorm in Marion. It does some damage, maybe to your lawn furniture, to your siding, things like that. But that's about all there is to a windstorm. But a flood can be dangerous because if your house is low or you have a basement where you store things, which, boy, oh, boy, I would tell you not to store things in the basement because we've all heard that story. I don't know how many times. Oh, I had things stored in the basement. I had them on high shelves, and yet all the damage still happened, and we lost all of these things. And a lot of people have their washers and dryers in basements, which can cause a lot of damage. I worked at Sears for a while in the appliance department, and I remember floods that happened in people's basements that led to them having to get new washers and dryers. That is not a fun thing to do. So floods, to me, are probably the most destructive. Because they can come in and they can ruin your carpet and they can ruin your floor and they can ruin your furniture. And certainly a lot of houses in Marion have basements and they can wreak havoc on your basements and do all kinds of damage to all kinds of things that you have stored in your basement. And a lot of times you even have a sump pump and it just doesn't work fast enough. That's the sad thing. We all get these sump pumps because we think they're going to be the savior in a situation like that, and they don't end up doing the job. Does anybody have a basement horror story about a flood? Now, I know somebody out there in the audience has a basement horror story. There are just too many basements in Marion, and just too many times where basements have flooded. I've just heard that story over and over and over, even when people have the sump pumps. So is there anybody out there who has a basement horror story or can remember a flood, a winter storm, the windstorm I was talking about from 2012, the big brownout I think that happened in 2002? Any memories of any of this stuff, any stories to tell? 52 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. Would love to hear from somebody. 740-383-9944. And apparently nobody is keen this morning on my strawberry dumpling idea. See, I like the idea of the strawberry dumpling. And I think there are people out there who can cook, who could whip this up. And wouldn't that be delicious? Does anybody else think, does anybody else think that strawberry dumplings would be good? Am I the only one who thinks that this would be a delicious thing? I really do. I don't know why that has hit me this week. I guess it's because I like the blueberry dumplings so well. Now, the apple dumplings are good. I would take those. But I really prefer the blueberry dumplings, and I think that strawberry dumplings would be good. You know, I'm going to check the dial tone here because this is very strange. Well, we do have a dial tone. That is a positive thing. But does anybody else think the strawberry dumpling thing would be a good idea? Or does anybody have any memories of any of these things that have happened in Marion's past? 740-383-9944. Now, like I said, for some reason, the first hour always seems to be a little slower. I don't know what that is about the first hour of this show that always moves a little slower than the second hour. It seems like the second hour, the calls kind of pour in. I don't know. You know, I wonder if people are in commute to work during this hour, and they're listening in their car, and they really cannot respond because they're on their way somewhere. And maybe during the next hour, they're already there. So then they can answer the phone or do what they need to do. I guess this is kind of an hour when schools are starting and classes are starting and people are driving to work and a lot of people are not at work yet who work 9-to-5 jobs. Because I know there are certain businesses that we are on in. I know we're on at Marion Auto Sales. I know that we are on the city bus, which I certainly appreciate that. I know that we are on at Dr. Reddy's office. I heard that recently. Hello, everybody over at Dr. Reddy's office, if you're listening this morning. I wonder if anybody at Dr. Reddy's office can whip up some strawberry dumplings. Wouldn't that be nice? Some strawberry dumplings from Dr. Reddy's office. Dr. Reddy might not approve of eating strawberry dumplings. I don't know that would be on the health plate. But here we are, 55 minutes past the hour, coming up on the break here in about 5 minutes. Are we going to get a call before the break? See, that's where we are right now. We're at the 5 minute mark. I've talked and talked and talked. 740-383-9944. Are we going to get one call before we go to the break at the top of the hour? 5 minutes if we're going to get it done. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Are we going to get one call before we go to break here at the top of the hour? We'll see if it happens. Do want to remind everybody, the Charlie Evers Show this morning, 10 a.m. until 12 noon, and he has a lot of great giveaways to Jimmy John's, Smoothie King, and Panda Express, as well as the ever-present, never-able-to-give-away Jags Koozie, the bright yellow Jags Koozie, which we can never give away. Following all that, we do have Swap Shop with Glenn Coble. I should mention that today. Swap Shop with Glenn Coble today, 12:10 to 1 p.m., which is our version of the old program Tradio. Now, I don't know how many calls Glenn has been getting. Does anybody have any ideas on this Swap Shop program? Because we want to continue to provide that as a public service, but it was kind of a weird time when we started it. I think we started it back in December, November, something like that. And that is usually not the busy time for the Swap Shop show, the Tradio type of show. It gets more busy as we move into the spring and the summer because people have yard sales and people want to go out and sell things. So Does anybody know anything about that, per se? How we could tweak that show, or how we could help Glenn end up getting more phone calls for the Swap Shop? Now, I know there's a lot of talk about the Swap Shop theme song, which Glenn likes. Well, I won't say Glenn likes it. I'll say that Glenn says it has grown on him, and Charlie hates it. He hates the Swap Shop theme song. For some reason, that just gets on Charlie's nerves. But Glenn, I was going to take it out at one point, and Glenn said that it's grown on him, and he wanted to keep it in there. So now it's kind of become like a running joke, the old Swap Shop theme song. Do you guys like the Swap Shop theme song? Has anybody listened to it? 12:15 every Thursday? Also, the Adam the Computer Guy show will be on today, 2:10 to 3 p.m. You don't want to miss that. That's always fascinating. An interesting look at all things going on around the world. 58 minutes past the hour, 740-383-9944. Are we going to get that one call before we go to break? Did something happen this morning in the news that I am not aware of that has made us become, I don't know, like an out-to-lunch type of thing here? What went on yesterday? What's going on now? Is there anything of any type of importance that has went on? I don't know. Well, they had the Democratic debate last night. I'm looking at the USA Today right now. The big headline is, Sanders was steady, Warren fights back, how each Democrat fared in the Vegas debate. You know, I was hearing this morning that Bloomberg did not do well. I know a lot of people are angry at Bloomberg right now. Not a popular man at this point. Well, I don't know. Maybe he's popular with the Democrats. But I know a lot of people are posting a lot of interesting stuff about Bloomberg, the former mayor of New York. See, the thing with Bloomberg that I can't get by is that he wanted to regulate the size of sodas. I don't understand that. Now, yes, I drink the large diet sodas, but what I don't understand about this just in general, even if I didn't drink the sodas, is what would stop you from ordering two small sodas or just having more sodas in your house, you know, drinking them at home? I didn't understand the regulation of selling big sodas. I thought that was kind of a strange way to try to help people's health. A little bit of an odd thing. Anyway, we're going to break. Stay tuned.
Wanting to hear from you, Scott.
Well, I tell you, this morning I did something different. Yesterday we were outside with the protesters, so today I made sure we got here a little earlier, got through the checkpoints, and I am actually calling you from Cleveland, Ohio, Republican National Convention, inside. I am sitting right now in Lone's Arena, the Oregon delegation from the